You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded on Sundays at the 11 a.m. Mass at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Columbia, Illinois. For more information on Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. Our associate pastor is Father Steve Gira. And now, enjoy the podcast.
So you've finally decided to do it. You're going to begin tomorrow morning taking the bus to work. I was in Rockford, Illinois yesterday on my way home from the north. $4.19. So we're going to take the bus to work. So as you go out there and you stand on that corner, there's different kinds of buses going by, what's the most important thing on your mind? It would be getting on the right bus, or you'll end up in the wrong place. So you watch for those little signs that say what the destination is, so that you make sure you end up where you want to go. You've got to pay attention. Well, in a way, the prophet Hosea is saying that same thing to the people who will listen to him when he says, strive to know the Lord. Strive. It's going to take an awareness. It's going to take an effort to know the Lord. Don't assume that just whatever bus goes by, you should get on. It may take you someplace you don't want to go. Strive to know the Lord, or you might know a God that isn't the real one. Strive. How can any one of us here today, no matter who we are and what our education has been or our experience, say with absolute certitude in all cases that we know who God is? Well, we've got God all figured out. Hosea challenges us to take a more humble and therefore more truthful stance and work hard to come to strive to know who the Lord really is. Otherwise, we may simply have a God of our own making. We know what happens when you have a God of your own making. We continue to see it in those folks who really are convinced they know who God is and what God is asking them with such precision and determination that they are convinced they must inflict it on everyone, even if that infliction is injury or even death. Such are the disasters and the tragedies of those who think and believe they have God, the knowledge of God, so clear and so total, so wrapped up in their pocket. So what do we do to strive to know who this God is? Our Christian tradition brings us home to one place. To keep our eyes, as the scriptures say, fixed on Jesus. How will we know who God is or what God asks of us unless God tells us? And we believe that God has revealed God's very being and self and wisdom and love and attitudes in the face of Jesus in his life, in his ministry. It is therefore to strive to know him, to see him, to hear him and understand him that is our only hope of really coming to know the real, true God. For Jesus says, if you see me, you have seen the Father. So what does Jesus do? What is happening in today's gospel and in many other passages like it? Well, today Jesus is calling those to follow him. And it's always instructive to see, well, who does Jesus think is important enough and special enough to call? That he wants to be close to him in this great and precious enterprise of taking this bus, if you will, to the kingdom of God and no place else. That's the destiny. So who does he call? Well, here he is, who he brings into his inner circle today. He brings in Matthew, a toll collector, one of those folks who is in his booth, customs booth, taxing people to his own benefit, probably. He was despised among the Jewish people, all tax collectors. He calls and wants a tax collector? Then, in other places, Jesus will go to the other extreme. And he calls Simon from the Zealot party. Now, the Zealot party are those real extreme Jews who are Jewish beyond Jewish. They would be the absolute opposite of Matthew. So here we have two polar opposites. And Jesus says, I'm going to put them in my 12. It reminds me of something I heard recently on a news program that featured the presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin. You may have heard of her. She has a new book out. She talks in that book about Abraham Lincoln and when he came to be elected president in a bitter contest. And in the end, when he ascended to the presidency, what did he do? All those folks who were his adversaries, you think, well, let's vanquish them and get them off the scene. He puts them in his cabinet, keeping them close so that he can hear them, so that he can draw from the diversity and differences of their points of view. And that's what Jesus did. When you look at that 12 he called as the inner group, they are much like that. They're all over the map, if you will. And so we hear echoed the words of Hosea when he says that God falls like the rain. God rains down upon us. In fact, even Jesus said that. God's love falls on the just and the unjust like rain. And the sunshine falls on the good and the bad alike. Here, striving to know the Lord, we get a glimpse through Jesus that it is God's wish, God's desire that somehow all humanity is drawn into this great journey to the kingdom of God. What does God desire? Perhaps the most important thing we hear in the readings today is to make sure we understand what God doesn't need. The prophet says, and all the prophets say this, God doesn't want holocausts. God doesn't want sacrifices. We could put it more to our own ears and say, does God need our liturgy here? Does God need our worship? You know, sometimes you'll hear people say, yeah, I give God his 1 hour a week. Does God care about our 1 hour a week? Is that what God desires of us? Instead, we hear and see, as Jesus calls, God's desire is not for our hour of worship or so, but God desires us. God wants us. God chooses us. And we come to this worship because it is our chance to accept that challenge. It is our opportunity to say yes and to give ourselves to the great enterprise of building this kingdom of God, of welcoming and gathering all people into that great kingdom where God is all in all. You know, we say it every week almost. We are trying to build church while building a church. And what does that prayer say? We want to honor God. We say it. Honor God. How? by welcoming all. What gives God honor isn't just our voices in song or our voices in prayer or even our presence here, but what our presence here and all that goes on here means. And that is, it gives honor to God when we welcome all and want all to be in here with us, no matter what their point of view. In fact, because of different points of view and differences, that brings them into this special place. What does God desire? Love justice, do mercy, and walk humbly with God. Prophet Micah. That's what God desires. God desires we keep those doors open to all the unworthy, because we know that as we walked in here this morning, we're numbered among them. We're all the unworthy to be here. We are all the sinners and the tax collectors and who knows what other kind of riffraff we might be. But God says, come on in. And once we know that we know that, once we strive to deepen that sense of humility, then we're free. Free to welcome others like us and different from us into the great journey that leads to the kingdom of God.